Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Tony Presley.
Okay, let's get down to gimmicks then, right? Now, I want to say something today. I'm stopping playing games. I ain't playing games anymore. We got too much to do in the kingdom. Too many people going to hell. Plenty in this area going to hell. I'm not playing games anymore. That's my first gimmick. What do you reckon to that? There's no wings on the back. You're all right. No, I like that. I think it's good. Today I want to talk about, push for time, but I want to talk about the Restoration Man. There's a program on TV, I don't know if you see it, it's called The Restoration Man, and this guy, very quickly, he goes around these old places and he restores them to former glory. And it's an awesome program. And first thing he does, he makes a plan. And then the plan, as he goes along, the plan slightly gets changed a little bit. Until in the end, the plan is different, moved here, moved there. But the final product is absolutely beautiful. So I want to talk about the Restoration Man this morning. And I believe that God wants to restore his people. And not only, see, I'm classing his people as everybody. Not just, well, we're going to heaven, brother. We can just sit there and be comfortable and go to heaven and everything will be fine. No, that's not what it's all about. The idea is, yeah, we're going to heaven, but forget that bit. That's going to be later on, hopefully. I don't want to go there today. I don't want to go there tomorrow. I want to get some work done. But the idea is God wants to restore a lot of things, especially in the church, because the church has just been locked away for years and years and years, and they've done little bits here and little bits there and a few things here, but in the main, the church has been pretty weak, and it's been covered up. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about we are treasures in jars of clay. Know that? Brilliant. And then we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, which is the most important, the Holy Spirit or the temple? Look at my temple. No, I want to look at the Holy Ghost. People say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, brother. Really? If you were, it'd be overflowing onto everyone else. We need the Holy Ghost, but we don't need the vessel. The vessel is just a carrier. So can we play that, Dan? Can I play that little tune? This is a restoration song. Really touched my spirit. Can we have the light?
Restoration. Restoration, you bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration, you bring restoration, you bring restoration.
Anymore. It goes on for about 9 minutes. And if you want to find it on YouTube, it's David Brimer. I think that's really awesome. You know, God's in the restoration business. He's the restoration man. You know, some weeks ago in the prayer meeting in Lamplugh one morning, God had shown me something. And he'd shown me a man. It was God, but I don't know what God looks like. But it was a man walking through a reclamation yard. If you don't know what a reclamation yard is, it's a place where these stately homes, they take out a fireplace or a mirror and all these precious things they take out and they put in a reclamation yard for somebody to buy and put them somewhere else. And God was showing me that he's walking through a reclamation yard and he's pulling people out. Chris, you're precious. Judith, you're precious. Kate, you're precious. But are you in the right situ? Are you doing the right thing for me? Have you been restored yet? You know, because these things have got to be restored before they can put back on the wall or the fireplace. Have you allowed me to restore you yet? And God was showing me this. He said, I'm reclaiming people. People that have really good people. They love me with all their heart and they've done nothing. And they really love me, and they're in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. And I want them in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And then the glory of God will shine. Amen? And that's what God was showing me. You know, the church is a bit flippant. There is a video on YouTube by David Wilkerson. I don't know if you know David Wilkerson. He's an elder statesman of the kingdom of God. And he's got this thing out called A Call to Anguish. And it's in three parts. And he talks about how we've lost the anguish in the church, crying for the unsaved. You know, Pastor Paul likes Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah 1, it talks about when Jeremiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the people were captive, he just wept and sobbed and cried over Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. God's weeping over his kids, over his church. He's saying, you're not doing much. You're just not doing enough. Because all they can see is, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, brother. You know, I'm a jar full of precious. Yeah, you are. You are all that. But let's see God. Let's let the world see God and not us. I'm just knowing that God, this is prophetic today. I want you to know this is prophetic. And I'm going to do something prophetic in a bit. That's going to break something. Because I think there's a lot of stuff being put over God's church. I'm not only talking about here, I'm talking about the church per se. Because there's some good churches in the UK, but they're few and far between. And when I look at all the church buildings in the UK, they are many, 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 and most of them have been turned into a tyre depot or an antique shop. And I'm thinking, but God used to be big. And now it seems, according to the world, God is very small. But my God's not very small. My God is very big. The only thing is, we've got to let people see how big he is. The other thing God showed me in a prayer meeting one morning is if you can't get to those prayer meetings, make an effort, because I tell you, God really shows up. God showed up last week and there was an expression of unity, wasn't there? It was just absolutely awesome. There was a unity I've not seen for many, many years. And that's what God does in these prayers. Because people want to go and pray. Oh, I've got to go to another meeting. No, people want to go there and they want to pray. And God shows up. It's pretty good, actually. David Wilkerson, in that thing, A Call to Anguish, he said, I'm sick and tired of people talking about revival. I am, really. Because I've been in a revival to do with the Toronto Blessing and all this sort of stuff. And I saw people fall on the floor every day, 7 days a week for 6 months. But I didn't see too many people getting saved. Saw some miracles. Saw some really good things. But if that's revival, then I think we've missed it. But I think God's looking for restoration. He's looking in restoration of relationships, one with another, and relationships with him. God's really interested in a personal relationship with us. Then he can really use you. You know, Nigel, you're special. And you're taking something special out there. Because yeah. This old body is going with you. You know that? You ain't going on your own. We're going with you. It'd be all right if we had the sunshine. but you're not going on your own. And that's the way we should be. Last week in that prayer meeting, yeah, there was unity. And Paul and I were sitting there. Pastor Paul was sitting there. And we weren't on our own. It was like, wow. People just got round us to do with the building and stuff. It was awesome. We've had revivals, and there's been some great revivals, but we lost it. Joshua crossed over, didn't pass it on. Most people don't pass it on, but we are the church of the firstborn. We've got to pass it on. And I just love these, like Dan and Jem, you know, getting up there. And the enthusiasm on that video. I'm thinking, some young people who are willing to do something. Because I'm going to talk a bit later on. There's not many youngsters in. But I want to talk a bit later on where the youth are really feared and they're frightened and they've got no guts. And I'm going to challenge them. You're looking at me strange here. But the youth in the main have got no guts. But I think we might have a couple here with a little bit of guts that are going to take it on, that are going to do something in this place. It's like, Ben, you are really special. God's got a really big job for you to do. You are a special boy. And God's got his hand on your life. And I can see that you are carrying an office in the kingdom. You've got to keep pressing in. You've got to have courage. And you've got to be brave. Because God's going to call you to do some things that you're going to be a bit frightened. Well, we all get frightened. But you're going to do it. Because one, with God's a majority. You know, if you want a miracle, my wife keeps telling me this, if you want a miracle, be a miracle. And I've been putting myself down for about nearly a year now. We've been in, I don't know, 10 months or whatever in the church. But we moved to Scarborough in November 07. And I could have been in November 07. And I've been putting myself down saying, you know, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to know things. Prophetic. And you go and do something stupid like moving back to Skegness. Because somebody asked me to take a church on. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm stupid. I'm a dummy. But I was talking to Brian the other day and I thought about this. When we went back to Skegness, we bought a flat. And he was an old man that owned this flat. And his wife had died. And he was going to live with his family in New Zealand. And he was really in a mess because he couldn't sell the flat. So he couldn't get to New Zealand to be with his family. He was 87, something like that. And he was a Christian man, loved God. He gave me a load of Christian books and tapes. And Lynn and I were able to buy that apartment off that man to enable him to go to New Zealand to be with his family. And when we did the deal, he said, well, do you want me out quick? Are you going to put pressure on me? I said, you can move out whenever you want. You can tell your solicitor the day you want to move out, we're fine. And he went, wow. See, I believe that was God. If I only went back to Skegness and wasted 2 years being with my brother there, then maybe it was worth it to bless this man of 87 to be with his family. And we were talking, Brian and I were talking, I thought, wow, yeah. You know, about time we started blessing one another. All right, it cost me about 40 grand. But I'll get it back when I sell the flat. But nevertheless, to bless that man, hang on a sec, this is wonderful. So it's trying to make sense of why we did what we did. And I've been putting myself down for a long time. Many of you in here have been putting yourself down over things. What you've done over the years, the time you've wasted, and why did I do this, and why did I do that. Today is a day of restoration. Today is a day where it's all junk. Pastor Paul said this morning about, you know, putting all the stuff behind us. Let's move into a new way. Let's do something different. Would you turn to Isaiah 42 for me? You know, I believe it's time for a resurrection. Let's get out into the open. You know, Lazarus was dying, and his sisters called for Jesus. They sent a fax, then they sent a text and said, Jesus, your friend whom you love, and you've had lots of meals in our house, we put you up, is dying. The one you love, remember? Amen. And Jesus got the message on his cell phone, on his mobile. But he turned up 4 days late on time. Yes. I like that. He turned up 4 days late on time. God didn't want a healing. He wanted a resurrection. God don't want to heal his church and put a band-aid on it. He wants a resurrection. He wants us to come out of the cave, come out of the pits, come out and do something so the world can say, look at them. They're doing something. And in Scarborough, we are doing that in patches, which is brilliant because most towns aren't doing anything. Now, in Scarborough, they've got other churches. Bless them. And I think we've got a pretty good relationship with them. And everybody's doing a little something. But how about doing a big something? So that the world will see how big God really is. We got a place at Lamplugh there, and that massive church, that Anglican church, I'm thinking, there's not many houses in Thwing, is there? And I'm thinking, they had this massive church. They built all these churches. God was big. Now you build a church for 50 seats. Isaiah 42. I digressed. Verse 18. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant and deaf like the messenger I send? That's the prophet. God's sending prophets. God's sending prophets. Not to be big shots. Not to do all the things and tickle your ears and tell you how lovely you are, but God's sending prophets to show what God wants to do. not to tickle your ears and get all these goosebumps. Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You've seen many things, have paid no attention. That's the church. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They've become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. This morning we're saying, send them back. Someone's going to restore them. And it's going to be us. Restoration. It's time to be seen. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, you know, jars of clay. Jars of clay. Jars of clay. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to smash a jar today. I'm going to smash a jar. Now, I couldn't get a 4,000-year-old jar. You know, I couldn't really afford that. And Pastor Paul wouldn't give me expenses on that one. So it doesn't look like a jar that should have done. But, I couldn't get a 4,000-year-old one. But I'm going to smash a jar. And when I do, I'm going to smash something that's been covering the church for many years. There's been something just covering over the church. Well, yeah, they're hypocrites in there. You know what they're like. Yeah, they talk big, but they don't do a lot. That's how the world see the church. They don't see God like that. I don't think they've got a problem with God, really. Because every other swear word's God or Jesus or something. So I don't think they've got a problem with God. They've got a problem with the church. And it's time the church changed. It's time the church was restored back to what it was meant to be. Amen? Oh, I've got some amens there. That's good. No heckling, though. Turn with me to Judges 6, would you? You know where I'm going. I can't find it in my new Bible, Brian. Where is it? I've got this new Bible. I can't find anything. Thank you, Pastor. Judges 6. I've got to move on quick. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, dear. And the Israelites are no different to the church of Jesus Christ. Because they all want to do their own thing and look good. That, if you listen to that David Wilkerson thing, he said the church is an entertainment centre. He said, and they're all having a good time. He said, there's more of the world in the church than there's the church in the church. And he said, we got to anguish over getting back to where we should be, where the church means business. And it's not just an entertainment centre. We can have a youth club and we can have a theatre or whatever, but it's time we got back to business. And it's time we were restored for what we were created for. Yeah? Amen? So the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so God handed them over to the Midianites. You know, we have been handed over to Midianites. In certain areas in our life, our finances, our jobs, our families, our kids. A lot of us older ones have got kids, and you're praying for your kids all the time, and the enemy's attacking your kids, and it's a horrible thing, and it attacks families, and it's horrible. But God allows these Midianites because they've been disobedient. So what's God going to do about it? So in verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, belonging to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, he's doing a good thing in the wrong place. Have you ever done a good thing in the wrong place? Don't answer me, but I'm just asking you. I've done some great things in the wrong place. I've also done some bad things in a good place. But it's time we started doing things right in the right place. God's brought a lot of us in here because he wants to use us in the right way, in the right place. Pastor Paul has been apostolically sent here because he's a builder. And if he's a builder, he would anguish over Nehemiah chapter 1. He'd anguish over the ruin. Because if everybody who's been in this church were here today, this would be too small. Is that a fair comment? Yes. But that's no different to any other church in this country. Because when I talked some months ago about the nets, the fish get out. We let the fish get away. Well, there's no love in this church. Well, they didn't talk to me. Well, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. So God's going to restore relationships. He's going to restore things in us where we get over it. He's going to restore our get over it. so that we don't let little things like that bug us, and the little foxes and the little mosquito bites. He's going to say, "Now, I know they love me. I know they love me, and if they're a bit off with me today, well, that's how they feel today. But I know that they love me." So Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And we've hidden stuff away in the church. You know, we've got our own little meetings, and they're good. Oh, we had a great meeting. How many got saved? None. But you had a good meeting. Well, yeah, we had a good meeting, but... nobody got saved. Oh, okay. And we've sort of hidden it away a little bit instead of taking it out there and just saying, this is what it's all about. I don't mean going beating somebody over the head with a Bible and giving them a track and all this. Just show them how you live. Start loving people. Start caring for people. That's why we got a sheep gate team. But they're going to be too busy pretty soon. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Chris, do you know you're a mighty warrior? Claire, you're a mighty warrior. Brian? Well, you already know you're a mighty warrior. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" You know, if God's with us, but why did he allow this? And why has God allowed that? And why? And why? And why? And why? "Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us, put us in the hand of the Midians." Go back to verse 1. It said the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And you wonder why. You wonder why. Consequences. Consequences. "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' But Lord," Gideon asked me, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I am the least in my family." The Lord said, "I will be with you. One with me is a majority." I'm talking today. God's with you. Guess what? You are a majority. Gideon replied, "If now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." That's pretty good. The Lord said, "I'll wait for you. Don't worry." Yeah. So then he goes and gets meat, puts it in a basket and puts it on the rock. And then it said, with the tip of the staff that was in the Lord's hand, he touched the meat. You know, I talked about a staff a few times. And the staff is very, very important. And I did say, Pastor Paul was away at the time, but a pastor needs to be able to lean on his staff. He said, "Well, I'm not on staff." No, but if you're a member of Kingdom Faith, you're on staff. And he needs to be able to lean on that staff to know he ain't going to fall over. And even the angel of the Lord there had a staff. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he gave them a staff. Very important when Moses had his staff. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Full of fear, he's feared already. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it "The Lord is Peace." The same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." I don't come from a Christian family, so it's harder for me. He didn't come from a Christian family. His family was worshipping Baals and had all these altars up for other gods. So if you hadn't come from a Christian family, if you're a first-time, first-generation Christian, great. That's brilliant. You're not going to carry the junk with you. Now, I wish I'd have come from seven generations, but I know when I got saved, the junk that was put on me that I've had to get rid of. So if you're a first generation, think yourself pretty fortunate, because you ain't got a lot of junk to get rid of. He said there, "Cut down the Asherah pole, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. I'm going to crash on because of time. Gideon said to God, if you, this is verse 36, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand. See, Gideon's putting his fleece out. You've probably all heard about the fleece. You say, fancy him putting a fleece out. Now look, if you're going to go from here to Torquay, you're going to look at a few road signs, aren't you? Gideon didn't have a sat-nav. So he needed a few signs. He said, if you're really with me, let me put a fleece out, and I want it to be wet in the morning, but the ground dry. And he says, well, can I put another one out now? And one's not enough for Gideon. Now, if I put a fleece out, and it's wet in the morning, and the ground's dry, or if it's dry, and God says, okay, yeah, okay. So he puts all this stuff out, and he says, okay. But then early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Harod, the camp of Midian, north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel might not boast that they're doing it in their own strength. So he says, okay, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left. It doesn't say any women left. The women are tougher than the men. 22,000. They're all saying, yeah. Did you hear that, Pastor Paul? 22,000 men were full of fear, so they left. This is pretty good. We're just going into a battle and I've lost 22,000. It says the Midianites were so numerous you couldn't count the camels that they had. I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of them. And he just lost 22,000 men. Good start. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will sift them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. And only 300 men drunk with their hands like this, because the ones who were doing this were on the what? God's looking for watchmen. Got to stay on the watch. The ones who just put their head down and licking like a dog, I mean, the enemy could come upon them, they wouldn't even know it. Most people in church wouldn't know if the enemy showed up or didn't show up. But the men who drink like this are saying, wow, we're on the lookout. We're watching. We're protecting. We're making sure we're not going to get attacked. So we only had 300 men, and we've got hundreds of thousands of these Midianites. Pretty good. I think this is a great story. So the Lord said to Gideon, with 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who had took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid, Gideon's still afraid at this time, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to say what they're saying, and afterwards you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. That's how many, and he's got 300 men. Not bad, is it? I want to tell you, Paul, when we get 300 men in here, men and women, this is when it will start to explode. We want a 300 base. And then it will start to, then we'll start to move. And we're on our way. We're on our way. I believe once we get a building and once we get moved out and the community see who we are, then we're going to get 300 in pretty good time. When you got your 300, you can do anything. You know why? Because God's with you. Quick slurp. So Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend a dream he'd had. And he said, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be none other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he worshipped God. Well, he started worshipping God now. That's brilliant. He returned to the camp of Israel and called it, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. It's time, brothers and sisters, to blow your own trumpet. Pastor Paul can't blow your trumpet for you. Sorry, he's got to blow his own. You know, it's, "Oh, Pastor, can you do this for me? Pastor, will you pray for me? Pastor, will you do this for me? Pastor, will you do that for me? Pastor, I can't do this. And Pastor, I can't do this." It's time to blow your own trumpet. This man's a builder. He's got enough to do. And I'm not saying he don't love everybody and he wouldn't care for anybody, but it's time to blow our own trumpets. Because the enemy's got to see that we mean business. No more games. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. And when I know all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and Gideon.'" For the Lord first, then Gideon. You know, Gideon didn't have a king spirit. At the end of all this, they wanted to make him king. And he says, "No, I will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Gideon didn't have a king spirit. Some of you in here have been under people who have had a king spirit, and it's hurt you. It's wounded you. Today is a day of restoration. And what that wounding that you've had and that hurt that you've had, that king spirit is going to be taken away today. You're going to get rid of it. Because God does not want to tolerate that. God gave them a king in Saul, and it didn't work. God says, "I'll rule over you." Gideon didn't want to rule over them. But today is a day of restoration. Oh, God. "Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp and the beginning of the middle watch, just as they changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. He split them up into three companies." Three is a funny number in the Bible. You know, you've got the Trinity, the three. You've got Jesus had the three that were with him all the time. And, you know, 3 days in the tomb. Three is a significant number. And he split them into three companies. And they were all there with their jars and their torches. And they did have a trumpet in this hand, but I can't blow the shofar. Not yet, not yet, Claire, but... But this is significant. This is when this pot smashes, and I hope it does, something is going to be broken in the spirit in this area. Something is going to be broken. Something's been on this church. There's been something on it, something dark, and something's going to get broken. It's going to be released. And the fire, sorry, I couldn't have a fire torch, but. Health and safety, Richard. This is not a real torch, okay. But I want you to imagine when this pot is smashed, the fire is going to shine. And the fire of God is going to shine in this place. And the light's going to shine in everyone. You might sit there this morning and say, "I don't need to be restored, thank you." Fine, that's between you and God. But when this smashes, something's going to happen. And something's going to happen in each one of our lives. And the thing, each one of us could have been in a pit, could have been in a cave, we could have hidden ourselves away, hidden our ministries away. Well, I could do that, but I'm not going to do it. And we've hidden ourselves away for many years. But it's time that this was gone and something significant's going to happen. For the Lord and Gideon. For the Lord and Gideon. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I preached a similar message to this once to a church in Liverpool. Not the same message, but to do with a pot. And the pastor sat in the middle of all the pieces crying. And that church closed. Now, it's a different message. We're okay. Today... There is significance. There is significance in what you do. There is big significance. And I believe we've broken something today that's probably held us back in the past. And from here on in, you watch, we are going to start to go forward. We'll start to get a building. We're going to start to get people come in. We need craftsmen. God's got to bring in a lot more craftsmen. And the fire of God, that bright light, and guess what happened to all the Midianites? They did what the church has been doing for years. They ran around cutting each other and killing each other with their swords. They didn't know what to do, and they were just killing each other. Guess what? That's what the church has been doing for years. There's probably been more Midianites in the church than there is in the world. How many times has a Christian tried to kill you? Well, I've had it. You don't need to speak up, but... And that's heartbreaking to me, because, you know, we're people of the living God, and we should be loving one another, not trying to kill one another. You know, I want to get to the top, so I'll tread on anybody to get there. That's in the world. But in the church, it's, hey, brother, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to serve you? Well, let the fire of God be seen now in this area. I believe something significant has happened. Something's happened, that something's broken. Because God is a God of restoration. Don't look at me, look at what's in me. That's the key. Don't look at the pot. The pot's now been smashed. See, not only have we smashed what's been over the church, but we've smashed the pot that's over us. We said we don't need this earthen vessel. We need what's in the earthen vessel. So we want to be seen to be people of the living God. We want to be seen people of power, people of anointing, people that keep their word, people that say, if I'm going to be there at 10, they're there at 5 till. People of integrity. Because the church has had such a bad reputation. In America, they've got the 3 P's. You can't get credit if you're the 3 P's. They've got plumbers, pastors and prostitutes. Pastors can't get credit. I mean, that to me is like, God, these are your men. Integrity. God's going to restore integrity back into the church. Love back into the church. Relationship back in the church. Anointing back in the church. Let my yea be yea and my nay be nay. If I say no, it's no. If I say yes, it's yes. But if it's yes, I'm going to keep my word. Even if it hurts. Man, that's hard. In Judges 3, we haven't got time to go there, but in Judges 3, it talks about that God had to give them all these peoples there to fight because he had to teach them warfare. See, when they crossed over with Joshua, they were 20 years and younger, and they didn't know about warfare. So it says in Judges 3, he had to teach them warfare because they didn't know. And God is training us and teaching us warfare. Next Friday night, it's going to be starting the warfare for the men's prayer summit. That's going to be training. Because we talked some weeks ago about the women being really strong. And in most prayer meetings, there's more women than there are men. Now, I know the men probably have to go to work in the day. But in the main, there's always more women than men. And it's time the men stood up and said, you know, God raised men up to protect the women, to care for the women, to love the women. He's also raising women up as well. You know, I believe women's lib would close if men treated their wives like Christ treats the church. There wouldn't be any women's lib. There wouldn't need to be. All right. If you want to earth the glory, and the prophet came, didn't he, from America and said about earthing the glory. How are you going to earth the glory if it's covered with a terracotta pot? And it's covered in a jar of clay. Earth in the glory. We've just earthed some glory in here today. We've earthed some glory. I believe the glory is going to be seen. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see who's in me. Amen? Brian liked that anyway. John the Baptist said, didn't he? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. And we better decrease and let him increase in us. It's about time the world saw what God's all about. Very quickly, I'm closing now because time's getting on. But just 8 things that I really felt that about this restoration. They're quick things. They are quick things, very quick things. Because you want your cup of tea, I appreciate it. Number 1, reclaimed by God. You're going to be in your right place. Chris, right place, right job, right time. Oh, relax. Whew. I can now do what I've been called to do. Reclaimed of God. Brian, you know, you've been doing some great things, maybe in the wrong place, like I've been doing. Some great things, wrong place. You're now in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. Ooh, does that make you feel good? When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to Shona as well. I mean. Number two, the church is restored to its former glory. The church used to be glorious. Some of it was religious. But we're fortunate because we've learned the bits we don't need. But the glorious bits we do need. Number three, the earthen vessel smashed. What's covered the church, what's covered this particular body, this particular area for years is now smashed. And I believe there's an open heaven and we're going to earth the glory. I really believe that. Blow your own trumpets. This man or this man, pastoral, or this sheep gate man, they can't do it for you. There's certain things you've got to do for yourself. I remember Pastor Paul preaching at this leaders' conference down there about a little lad and didn't want his nappy changing. And, you know, he didn't want to be potty trained. And when they were going to the potty, he kept saying, no potty, no potty, no potty. And I just see Christians like that, no potty. You change my nappy. You do it for me. No potty, no potty. I think that was brilliant. I never forgot that. Blow your own trumpet, carry your torch, carry that flame, that flame. Walk into a shop and let them see the flame of God on your life. In Nahum 2, chapter 2, it talks about they were at war, the Israelites, and they looked in their chariots like flaming torches. Quite like that. That they looked like a flaming torch. And those 300 flaming torches, the enemy just crumbled. Because that brightness, and I want God to be seen in all our faces, that we are children of that living God. Get battle experience. In Judges 3, God wanted you to have battle experience. Get, you know, we're in a battle, we're in a war. This is not a hospital, this is an army. This is the army of the living God, not the hospital of the living God. Well, got an amen from Chris, why not? And we must not kill one another. We are not Midianites. We are children of the living God. Midianites killed one another. And the church normally kills one another. But we're not going to be like that. We're going to be in unity. Did you see anybody in that prayer meeting last Thursday killing one another? No. Were they loving one another? Yeah. Yep. That's what it's all about. And it's not just for a Thursday morning or a Tuesday morning. It's for a Sunday as well. Oh, no, no. I can't run to that, Brian. You know. Calm down, Brian. I've not got Brian's energy. Praise God. There was also unity with the 300. They all had to do the same thing at the same time. They all had to smash the jar, blow the trumpet, and let the torch be seen. In unity, three companies of the three. You've got to do things together. It's got to be in unity. You know, and in Psalm 133, it says this. I'll finish with this. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For the Lord commands his blessing, and he commands the blessing of eternal life. That's really what it means there. That's what it says in other renderings. He commands the blessing for eternal life. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you know the restoration man. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to talk to one of us at the end and let us lead you to the restoration man. Because your life may have been real junk forever, but God can change it. And God can say, I don't care what you've done before. I care what you're going to do now. Because I'm restoring you to former glory with me. And God's in the restoration business. He's not in the killing you business. He's in the restoration business. So today I believe that something's happened. in this place, God has done something. One final thing. In Mark 14, Jesus was at the table, and this woman came, and she had an alabaster jar full of perfume. And I'm going to do that now. I'm going to smash this jar, alabaster jar full of perfume, and I believe that we're going to have a nice smell on us. We're going to smell good to the world. We're going to smell good to one another. Because when she broke that jar, Judas says, "Oh, that's pretty stupid. That's a year's wages there. What a waste." No, this is not a waste. We've got to smell good. We've got to look good. We've got to smell good. The world's got to see, hang on, these people, they are children of the living God. That has been broken. The alabaster jar has been broken, and the smell is just permeating. And I'm just praying that that goes on to every person in this place, everybody in this area, really, everybody in every church in this town, that smell, we become a people that, Nigel, when you go out to Africa, I want you to smell good. I know it's going to be hot, but take plenty of deodorant, but you're going to have the smell of God on your life. You're going to talk with clarity, and the smell of God's going to be on you, and the fire of God's going to be on you, because you're restored. Amen? Hallelujah. Sorry about the mess, guys, but we will clear it up. But when you do things symbolically like this, this is what was done in Old Testament times. This is symbolic, but it actually does something in the heavenlies. It breaks things wide open. I don't know how you feel today. I don't know. We haven't got time for you to come out for prayer. But if you want prayer, come down the front. People will pray with you if you want to get this thing that's been lifted off you. Or just go and just talk to the Lord and say, "God, I realize you've lifted this off me now. You've taken it off me. I've been in this pit. I've been in this dungeon for years. And God, you're lifting me out of that pit. That cave's gone. The pit's gone. The jar over me is gone, and I can now be seen." Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.